If you'll engage, give me everything that you possibly can. I'm not only asking that out of your spirit, but I'm asking that out of your soul, that you give me everything, and that you, according to my word, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable unto me, and which is your reasonable service. Do you think that it's unreasonable for me to ask you to fully engage when you come into these services or when you watch these services, to sanctify yourself entirely over to me, not concerned about the hours ahead or any other obligation? Excuse me, sir. What is it? Why would you bring into my services instruments of the world? When you look at your phones or you surf or do anything else, while you are supposed to be in my presence, I love you, but you are highly displeasing to me during that time. I've asked you to come apart. I've asked you to come in to a place of sanctification. Why would you come and enter my house and give yourself over to anything other than these hours of setting yourself aside to worship me in spirit and in truth? Part of that truth is that you engage not only with your spirit, but that you engage with your soul and your body, says the Spirit of the Lord. For these are the times I'm asking my children to grow up. I will not speak to you much anymore as babes, but I will speak to you as those who are coming of age, for the world needs you. If I pamper you, if I treat you as if you were a tender plant that could be broken easily, then who do I have in the earth who will grow up and bring forth and nurture this great revival, says the Spirit of the Lord? You'll put your arms around those who are hurting and those who are on the edge of disaster in the days ahead, and you'll bring them forth. But what about you? 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years in, you are well past in my estimation, and I am the judge. You are well past being babied. Yours is no longer the sincere milk of the word. Your portion is to eat meat with your brethren. Take my meat and eat it, says the Spirit of the Lord. Mahalo olehila olehala ila alahole ikala olema eka aha ho ho isevatiete. I have a portion of meat to give you. It is peace unspeakable and full of glory. You'll break this bread, and not only will the fivefold be the ministers of miracles, but you in the pew and those in the seats will lay hands on the sick. But if judgment does not begin at the house of God, where does it judge? Where does it begin? Maha eli aklokele be iska ve alahole bekidiete. I'm growing you up. Olah le idi akloba se itya tele seti diete. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Father, I'm asking you, according to your word, you said that if we would humble ourselves, you would exalt us. We've found out that that exaltation is not the recognition of man or someone praising us, or knowing our name, or a pat on the back, but your exaltation is coming with your presence and with your glory, and the works that He did will do also. That when we speak the name of Christ, a presence comes and a power backs up that presence. Jesus, Mahala Ole Diete, we thank you for this outpouring. Our greatest desire is Jesus meetings. Jesus, where you come, and the same things that you had in your meetings we'll have in ours. That the blind will see, and the lame will walk, and the deaf will hear, and the dumb will speak, and the dead will be raised, and demoniacs will be right in our presence, Lord, with nothing hid, not hiding anything. People speaking in tongues, and all decently and in order, as Paul commanded. We worship you, Jesus. No, not that harvest. No, not that harvest, Father. No, not the harvest apart from miracles. We've seen the earth has had that. We've had the harvest. Man has disguised their lack of ability to go into power by saying, but this is the most important. Not that harvest. That's not the one we want. We want the harvest that comes with power. The same one that Jesus had. Mahalosete. Mahala arete fratete. Give us this with signs and wonders following us. We glorify you. We glorify you.
Glory be to God.
We don't have an agenda this morning. I might have some scripture here in a little bit. So many of the services now are, he gives them to me before the service sometimes, and just, is that a lack of prayer and study? No, it's a product of a lot of prayer, a lot of study. So if you've got a whole lot of good stuff running through you, he can just pull it up. And that's the trick of you women, you men that are loving God and seeking God. And I said Wednesday night, I was using an example of putting priorities right. And it was really to make an example about what God has called us to do. And I used an example, and I know some people can't, watching or in here, wouldn't relate, because this sounds like a whole lot. I said, if a man ever got to a place where, and I'm not talking about a preacher, that he had 2 hours a day that he'd actually turned into prayer time, it may have taken him years to get there. You could scale this down, you could ratchet it up. It would go either way. But if he had 2 hours a day that he got up and he said, okay, I'm an early riser, I get up at 5 and or 6, get those 2 hours in, because I know I'm part of a revival, I know I'm part of whatever. And maybe he's headed towards gospel entrepreneurship. Maybe he's headed towards becoming a millionaire. God has that plan for his life, because he knows that he's not just smart, but you know, giving is the ones that'll give in the end and turn millions over. Pastor Dave used to say this, they have to be just as dead and just as mortified as the apostle. So it takes a lot. But let's say a man's working towards that and he's got 2 hours, he gets up early, he prays those 2 hours, he's at work at 8 o'clock or whatever. he's narrowed it down. That's only he's only and as 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Saturday he plays with his kids or does whatever, and Sunday he devotes. He says that 2 hours of church is, and God is pleased with that, and life goes on. And so then the day comes that, because he's an incredible worker, and he excels in everything he does. And the boss comes to him and says, look, maybe he's already up in the business. And maybe he's a manager and he's doing really well. And then they come in and they want to, I'm just, this hypothetical, so I'm making it up as I go. So he says, somebody really high up in ranks has noticed you, and we're noticing your numbers. You're making the business a bunch of money. So we want to promote you. Well, that's wonderful. We wanted you to be a regional director, not just over this plant or over this, wherever, this house, this particular location. What does it entail? Well, right off the bat, 25,000 a year increase, an expense account with a credit card, a company vehicle, and other incentives, and we'll discuss the other incentives later. Wonderful. What are my requirements? What you're doing, but now you'll be directing managers, be a lot of travel involved. It'll be necessary for you to be down here at the office at least 2 to 3 hours early, because of you're going to be interneting, connecting with other regional managers, and you have to, this is a requirement. So he's got a decision, so he has to think. Okay, can I, here's the thing is, if you're given a promotion, or if you're asked, and then if you say no, there's a mark against you. It's hard, because if you ever say no, it's like, even if they don't look at you differently, you feel that they look at you differently. Because you didn't accept. I was called at, Candy and I didn't even have Amber. I don't think, Amber may have just been born, the presbyter of Southwest Florida in the Assemblies of God. I just got out of Bible college. He sent me to a church, small church, and to try out. He said they don't have a pastor. Their pastor just left. Would you go? And he said, I'm telling you, Bronc, they're probably going to want you. So I went, and I preached, and the elders took me out. They took me out for a steak afterwards. And I was young, just in my 20s. And they said, we don't have to vote. We have to vote, but we don't have to vote. If you want this church, you can have this church. We can tell you, we just listened to you this morning. You did a good job. I don't know what I taught then. I'm glad it's not recorded. And so I went and prayed about it, and I knew that church was not God's will for my life. It wasn't just telling those people, but then this man who was, he was the regional director. He had a large church in Fort Myers, 1,000+, maybe a couple thousand, I don't know. He was my pastor. And then he asked me, so you're going to take the church? And I said, sometimes people that are supposed to be spiritual, when you tell them I prayed about it, they think that's a cop-out. Wait, son, you just got out of college. This is a you get a church, you get your own church. Do you know how many kids, young men like you want their own church right out of college? And I had to tell him, God's told me no. I was scared, because he was the overseer of a bunch of preachers. And then he gave me an opportunity and I said no to it. And then you feel like, well, there he's going to look down on me for the, I don't know if he did or not. I that's between him and the Lord. I hope he didn't. I'll say he didn't. But you get a, maybe in today's economy, 25 is not much. But you get a $25,000, $30,000 raise, expense account, car, you know, anytime we send you someplace, it's all on us. This, the only thing is you got, and then you got to think, okay, oh, this is wonderful. I can just about tell you, yes, sir, thank you. But can I go talk to my wife? But more, you're using her as an excuse because you got to go talk to God. So you say, God, I have no idea. I don't have any idea where I can. I know you've established these 2 hours of prayer. I know you have. Now, if this is your will, you're going to have to show me where I can put two hours in, to where I can put these in. The guy's only getting 6 hours of sleep a night to begin with. He's a good father, plays with his kids, got other activities besides work. And there's no other place. In man's thoughts, that's God's will. Because look, that's promotion. That's promotion. But if you can't find any other time and God says no, that I've established that time. If he goes and says yes, is he going to hell? No. No, he's not going to hell. That didn't have anything to do with the blood. The only thing is, he sold his prayer time. That he sold his prayer time. Well, I'll make it up. Wait, you know, we do things like that. I'll make it up. Okay, wait a minute. Sit down and tell me where. I mean, well, I don't know. I'll figure it out. No. Right now. You know, God's an exact God. Some people say time doesn't really matter. Really? You need to go read Numbers. If you don't think time and numbers don't mean something to God. Well, I'll figure it out somewhere. I'll do it on the fly. I'll do it as I travel. No, that God will come in your truck. He'll come in your car. He does all the time with me. But the only thing is, sit down time, buttocks. Is it okay to say buttocks in church? No. Buttocks planted time is what bursts revival. It's not just Shondalai driving your car. It has to be some open time. I know 2 hours is a lot for some people. Let's boil it down to an hour or 45 minutes if you developed up to that. And you go and tell that guy and you say, I'll do it. And I don't know how I'll do it, God, but you don't do it. Somebody said, how much is prayer worth? I can tell you how much your prayer time was worth, $25,000 plus expenses. Now, will that guy not make heaven? Absolutely. He just won't be being used. Somebody said, well, how could you ever get to play? Listen, Norval Hayes said, I have to pray. He goes, I have 11 businesses. Multi-million dollar preacher. I have 11 businesses. I've got so many. I've got restaurants. I've got this. I've got that. I've got this. I got hotels. I got this. I have to spend hours alone with God. Do you understand that? It's coming to a place where you have people doing things for you so you can spend the hours. But if this guy couldn't, why are you saying all that? I'm saying that is because the real message for America today is fathers who will go in and do whatever they want, whatever they can, not just for a revival. If I can't sell you on a revival, if I can't sell you on helping us have a revival, can I please sell you on this? What about your children and your family? Well, I'm doing it for my family. Oh, God, have we heard that? I don't see you. They don't see you because you leave so early and you come back. They don't see you. It's night. And do you know that season turns into years? Well, I put them through college, gave them the best cars, bought them all a house. Yeah. But do you know how estranged they become from you? They don't need your money. They need daddy. Oh, I didn't get enough amens. Y'all must not be reading your Bible. They don't need money. They need daddy. Hallelujah. Fathers, you can develop companies, businesses. Mothers, you can develop. Now you do know, and I pray, now listen. You do know that America is under partial judgment. Well, my pastor says it's not. Your pastor's wrong. I can prove him wrong. I'm not going to fight with him. America is under judgment. It's under partial judgment. The big judgment is Revelation, the tribulation. Jesus called it in Matthew 24, he called it the great tribulation. We're under partial tribulation right now, but Jesus called it, he didn't say the, but he said a great tribulation. There's a great, Revelation calls it a great tribulation. There's a great tribulation coming. Well, what is judgment? Judgment for a son or daughter of God is supposed to be self-induced. Like, if I'm going to church, reading the Word, praying, then the Holy Spirit comes to me and convicts me, and I'll make that adjustment. Or my pastor, fivefold, the fivefold was put into effect to help speak truth and bring correction. But if you're one of these people that says, oh, God doesn't bring correction, doesn't bring judgment, you're sadly mistaken. 1 Corinthians 5 was judgment. That man that had his father's wife, what is judgment? Judgment is to the church that's not a serving son. Now, a serving son or daughter, they're serving the Lord. Their correction is Holy Spirit speaks to them. They judge themselves. The Word judges them. They judge themselves. Well, that's across the board. Absolutely not. If you're backslidden, if you're backslidden, you're not reading your Bible. He has no means to convict you. Well, he'll just come anyway. No, because you've already seared your conscience. You can't hear anymore. If you're running around in foolishness, you've seared your conscience. The Holy Spirit can't. So the prodigal, he left. He became dead because he said, this my son is dead. That prodigal left, but God's mercy on him was judgment. What? Starvation. Did God do it? Uh-uh. He just wouldn't provide for him. Judgment for backslidden America is God says, okay, by the way, I think you know this, but I better tell you anyway. 2022 or 2024 ain't going to fix this. I'm waiting for so-and-so to get back in order. He ain't going to fix it. There's only one fix. It's called revival and repentance. Laws, I guess, I don't know, they're putting it off, but I guess sometime this month, SCOTUS, Supreme Court, is going to render whatever they say. But you know, even if that comes out good for Roe versus Wade, it's not going to fix anything in that sense of the word. It's still going to take revival to change the hearts of millions and millions of Americans. November, I'm so excited. House is going to change. Things are going to change. It may change. It may help. But I'm going to tell you something. Only an outpouring of God. And this country is under revival. It's not, under a judgment. What kind of judgment? And did you know that the Christians who love God and are serving God, we have to go through that judgment with the rest? Well, I'm not going to go through it. You're already in it. $5 at the pump, that's part judgment. When God takes his hand off, we leave thousands in a foreign country stranded. When God takes his hand off, inflation goes to an incredible rate. And I'm not an economist. I'm just kind of a smart guy. I've told you, and I've told you, and I'm begging you, understand. And are you predicting? I'm just telling you. They say, the economists, even the unconservative ones, is that we're headed towards a recession. Will God take it? Well, don't say that, Pastor. Listen, Paul went through. There was depressions and recessions. They could not stop those things. Now, individually, you can prosper through it. Individually. But you can't stop judgment. When God pulls back his hand, it would not, you couldn't have prayed, you could not have prayed provision for the prodigal when the prodigal, let's pray, let's all get together and pray for the prodigal over there that's in the hog pen. God said, that's an improper prayer. I'm trying to get him saved. I'm trying to starve him. I don't want no man to give to him. I want him to come to his senses. America has bloodied the streets with millions of innocent babies. America has voted in people that promote promiscuous homosexual lifestyles, every kind of lifestyle possible, and says this is who we are. But God, now there is a great tribulation coming. I'm sorry, we're probably going to be in that one too. We're probably going to be in that one too. This is a good warm-up. It's a good test for us, to test us to see if we can believe God during the... So he's taking his hand off. So what's a recession? Well, this is what I beg you, don't go leveraging yourself. Please don't live off credit cards. Recession is when the GDP goes to a... well, the last one was, it started in 2007 and it actually ended in 2009. Usually recessions last an average of 11 months. They're pretty short-lived. Depressions are an excessive recession. A recession is when the GDP or the gross domestic product goes to a way lower level. People start getting laid off from their jobs. The value of things go way down. If you've got cash in a recession, you can become really rich. Because what happens is in 2007 and 2008, the houses in Lehigh that were worth 150 went to 50 or 40. And if you've got cash, you can just buy a whole bunch of them. Which is smart, because it'll go back up. But in a recession, like I said last week, oh, my house is worth 700. Sweetheart, your house is worth what? This is a bubble. It's not real. And even if we don't go into recession, it will go back down to some normalcy, and it'll be half of what you think it's worth right now. Don't, well, my land's worth I got a bunch of land. That's paper. Do you know millionaires can go broke if they leverage too much? Smart ones realize this isn't real. But I'm begging you as whatever I know. Well, they raised the prime this week. What somebody said, 0.75, that's not that much. I know, but if you're fixed, you're okay. But if you've got an adjustable income, that could mean hundreds and hundreds, if not double, your mortgage in the next 3 or 4 years. Why are you saying this? I'm saying because we're already, all this is happening to America to wake it up. To say, my God, we don't need, oh my God, give us Trump. No, my God, give us Jesus. And I'm not against him. I'm telling you, it's not a man. It's not even anybody that you like better. It's somebody called Jesus. He paid the price. Well, we're going to have this revival no matter what. Glory be to God. But this said, well, I came for a message on fathers. I'm giving you one. Fathers, listen. I recently read through real slowly. I think I enjoyed it so much I got to go back. Through the book of Jeremiah, real slowly and understanding. Jeremiah, he was a contemporary with Ezekiel. They both prophesied along the same time. But there were some things I got out of Jeremiah. Amazes me. One, the mercy of God, the love of God. And two, how deceitful and how stubborn the heart can be. Absolutely how it can be. Now you're talking about pastor, unregenerate, Old Testament. I'm telling you, this is where much of even the church is at today. The real quick synopsis, Israel was divided after Solomon into two kingdoms. Northern kingdom was commonly called Israel, the bottom half, which consisted primarily of two tribes, which was Judah and Benjamin, they were called Judah. After Solomon did a terrible job, really. If he hadn't repented in the end, he'd have went to hell. He did a terrible job, brought in all kinds of idol worship. If he hadn't wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, I probably wouldn't even believe he's in heaven. But Ecclesiastes, I see we repented. And it was. But after that, the kingdoms went downhill after that. They continued to go downhill. And Israel in the north, the 10 tribes in the north, they had one excessive idol worshiping kings, and these kings would bring in, well, I don't want to get off track, I just want to listen. It got so bad, and I've read this to you, that in Jerusalem, now this is in the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom went into captivity way before the Assyrians came in and took the northern kingdom, all the 10 tribes, they took them into captivity almost 100 years or better before the lower half, Judah. Judah was David's kingdom, the seed of David, which Christ came from. Those kings came out of him. They ruled, many of them righteously. You've got Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, Josiah. You've got king after king, and Josiah was the last good king. And you've got those guys that ruled, and they would bring revivals. But you've got king after king in the northern kingdoms that just were men that the abomination they brought in. God brought judgment to them. It got so bad that in Jerusalem, the temple that Solomon built to worship God, they built, and I've read it to you, I'm not making this up, they built right beside of it, and garnished it with all kinds of, they built idol houses of male prostitutes. So you could leave right out of the temple. Then they brought all those idols, they brought them into the temple. So like the holies of holies would be here, and you could go over here and worship Molech or Baal, or you could participate with Jehovah. And they polluted the temple. Josiah, when he took over, he said, take them all out, wash the temple, cleanse the temple, go over to this magnificent edifice of male prostitutes, destroy that. We're going to clean up everything. You know why Disney went downhill? By the way, I just read yesterday the Pixar film that's soon to be released, Lightyear, already they say has the worst reviews that it's set to make the least amount of money of any Pixar film ever. I say glory to God. God, if it'll bring righteousness, break them. Break them. So you know why Disney went the way it did? You know why there's blood in our streets? You know why there's such racism? Do you know why all these things? Do you know why there's school shootings? Do you know why there's all these? Well, we need Christ, yes. But let's talk about today's subject. It's because men have impregnated women and just walked off. It's one thing. Almost any man who's healthy can put his seed in, I'm sorry, I don't see any real small ones, can put his seed inside of a woman, and if she's ovulating at the right time, she'll get pregnant. But if he's not a father, if he's not a true mentoring father that will follow God, then that child is left. And the reason why America is in the condition it's in today is because men have not, they've been studs, excuse me, but they haven't been fathers. And that's the reason why America, even if she left you, even if she did, you have got a responsibility to follow that child for the rest of its life and pour Jesus into it. Love that child. Do everything you possibly. Well, she left me and I don't know. It doesn't matter. Your seed went into that woman. You impregnated her. That's your responsibility till the day you draw your last breath to make sure that child goes to heaven. Now that's good preaching, right, Carl? Right, Homer? Everybody? Thank you. The reason why kids, God bless them, I don't know if I'm a man, I don't know if I'm a woman, we're going to fight you about this. Listen, I don't want to make fun of them. I feel sorry. Because their daddy, it's all about they didn't have a daddy. Not the proper kind of daddy. Not the loving father that should have been in the home raising them. I would take my daughter out on dates so that they didn't marry a thug. I don't believe Mike's a thug. I appreciate it. He come to me at however old he was, 30 years old or almost 30, and sat down just me and him and asked me if it was all right to marry my daughter. Appreciate that. That's a man. But I was looking out for my daughter. Sorry, Mike, I got to tell this too. Before he got saved, and this helped him. He wanted to date her. He's grown, I'm grown. And he come and asked me, "Can I date your daughter?" I said, "Both of you are grown. I can't do anything about it. But if you're asking me..." See, here's a weak father's. "Well, she can do whatever she wants." I said, "No, you can't date her. No, you can't date her. Are you..." No, I didn't say it like that. I said, "Have you received Christ as your personal Savior?" He was real honest, real honest. Mike's such an upstanding guy. "No, sir." I said, "You guys can do whatever you want to, but you can't date my daughter. I can't give you permission." "No, sir. That'd be wrong for me to do that." Well, he loved Amber, or God got a hold of him. Within a month, he was born again and spirit-filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And has served God all these years. But back to these kids that don't know who they are, and they're protesting, and they think they hate us because I'm saying, "Look, you can't do that." They think they hate us, but the reason they are what they are is because some father didn't stand up and say, "No, that's my baby. I would open the door for my daughter and take her out on dates because I wanted her to see. I didn't want her to feel like my daddy won't pay attention." So the first man that says, "Honey, you're so beautiful. What a body you got. Let's sleep together tonight." "Oh, daddy never showed me that kind of..." Well, that, you know, and I'm not saying daddy does, but I'm saying daddy shows the right kind of affection. You get some idiot thug just wants one thing. I said, "Man, Pastor, well, listen, it's about time pastors talk straight and not give you the these and the thous and the Elizabethan English. And I don't know what he said today. I hope you know what I said today." Fathers, all of you fathers that are fathers that love God, thank you because you're helping us. These kids that don't know what they are, listen. It doesn't even make sense the world we live in today. Jesus said, they said, "Give us a sign of your coming." He said, "Well, no sign except the prophet Jonas, 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the earth." He also said in Matthew 24:25, he said, "This is how it's going to be. They'll love violence like in the days of Noah. And they'll love perversion like in the days of Lot." See, it's perverted because it's perverted because of the word, but it's perverted just by logic. An XX, you ladies, if two XX's chromosomes live together, they can't procreate. They can't produce a little one. "Well, we'll adopt." You've got to get some of us that don't think like you, you've got to get us, for some of us to get together to be a donor to get you a child. Because you can't... Two Ys... Well, a man's an XY. Two XYs, if they get together, they can't procreate. Do you know how crazy this is? Now just think about it. If they think that we're all supposed to be like them, if everybody in the world did become like that mentality, do you know in 1,000 years humanity would cease to exist? Because XX and YXY, do you get it?
Well, that's kind of weird. I don't want to say that.
Well, what were you thinking? It ran through my mind. They better hope that a bunch of us stay straight, because they're going to need us as donors to make what they are, because they'll run out of people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because X and Y have to get together. Hey, listen, when you come here, you get science class, economics. We may go into nuclear fission here in a little bit, so I don't know. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's all stand. I could go on. I'm gonna give you 15 minutes credit. Isn't that great? Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I appreciate my dad. He's here today. Father, we love you. Mockley is in revival. And every place where everybody is watching today that's claiming this outpouring, it doesn't matter if a recession comes. Father, it doesn't even matter if a depression comes. You'll take us through that. It doesn't matter how bad the world gets. The Great Depression, the Great Tribulation, you'll take us through that if we have to go through it. But what you're asking of us is an outpouring. Stay in the prayer closet. Stay with fastings. Stay with prayer. We love you, Father. If anybody is watching today and you do not know Jesus, just simply say these words and let's say them together. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Have a wonderful Father's Day. I hope everyone has a great day. No church tonight. I'll see you Wednesday night. Blessings to all of you. Amen.